Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, I have to say that right now is one of my favorite times of the year. And you may be thinking, yes, you know, nice weather, all of this. No, that's not what it is at all. It's baseball season. Baseball season makes it my favorite time of the year. You know, anybody that has been around me for any length of time knows that I'm a baseball guy, knows that I played baseball for a long time. And, you know, nothing changes your opinion on the difficulty level of baseball more than having children and trying to teach them baseball. You know, I've always thought, you know, you throw the ball and it gets caught. And then they throw the ball back, and it comes to you and you catch it again, you know, and there's a ground ball and it's rolling towards you and you're gonna just get the ball. Because hundreds and thousands of hours that I don't even remember of practicing with my dad has made it so that these things, I don't even have to think about them. The ball comes, I don't have to look. I know where it's gonna be and I can get it in my glove. But then I start practicing with my kids, and it's interesting stuff, you know. And we've got a slide that they're gonna put up there, and you know, I'm watching Taylor and she's playing baseball. Are we in it? I'm watching Taylor and she's playing baseball, and you know, I keep on thinking, wow, yes, everything that we've gone over, it's working so well. She's about to catch it, and then this happens. You know, and it's okay. I pay my kids when I embarrass them on Sunday. So she'll be very happy that I've used her as an illustration. It's all good there. You're putting all this time and effort in, and you're coming to the realization that it takes a lot of teaching. It takes a lot of training for people to learn things that for me, it's like, oh, you throw the ball, you catch the ball. It's easy, but it's not. Maybe you're not a baseball person here today, so I want to ask you, do you remember learning to drive? Do you remember the stress? Or maybe you're one of those people that's just like, all you do is you just push this thing as hard as you can and you just make everybody else get out of the way. That's how it works, right? No, that wasn't me, though. I remember when I was learning to drive, you know, it was like, okay, so, you know, I had to learn. This is the gas, and this is the brake, and you got to, this is how you parallel park. And I remember going up to, like, four-way stops where you'd have kind of a secondary highway. Everyone's going 80, really busy street in the Fraser Valley, and you're sitting there like, okay. I guess it wasn't a four-way, actually, it was a two-way. So you're stopped, and you're trying to turn onto this highway, trying to figure it out, and there's someone in front of you. And actually, I rear-ended a guy because he started to go, and then I started to look where I was going, and then he stopped. And so, you know, like, you're trying to learn these things, but I realized something the other day as I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I came to the realization that I had no memory of, like, the last half hour or an hour of driving. Do any of you have that happen too? You're just like, oh yeah, I guess I've been driving for this time. I haven't hit anyone. Somehow I've managed to not get a ticket in this time. I guess my brain somehow knows what I'm doing. You know, and so you go from this place of, oh my goodness, I need to learn what to do. Tell me step by step how I can do all of this, to things just being second nature and not even having to think about it. And it happens. I mean, learning to drive stick. Have any of you ever learned to drive stick? You know, you remember at first and grinding gears and lurching and barely moving anywhere. And then finally you get good enough to go out on the road, and then you come to a hill. And someone stops in front of you on the hill. Now, you guys are in Alberta, right? We're in Alberta now, so there's like one hill that's maybe kind of a hill. I grew up in the Fraser Valley. And so you're on like a hill, and somebody stops. And okay, let's go, oh, there's someone behind me. So you're trying to operate the emergency brake and trying to get on the clutch and the gas and get everything going. It takes a lot of time, a lot of learning. And while there's a certain amount that you can learn on your own, if no one teaches you these things, there's going to be a lot of crashing involved, isn't there? Yeah. We've been in this series on the book of the Bible called Acts. And we've been talking a lot in this series about sharing our faith in Jesus. We've been saying that we, as believers in Jesus, we're called to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-empowered, and that when we have the Holy Spirit within us, He gives us what we need to be effective ministers of the gospel, to be able to go out and tell people what Jesus has done for them. But in all of this, something might sneak up on you if you're not prepared for it, and that is, what happens when you sit down and you take to heart the things that we've been talking about, and someone says, yeah, I do want to follow Jesus? Because, you know, it's not going to happen every time, and it might not even happen all that often, but if you're faithful in sharing your faith, someday someone's going to say, yes, I want that, and then what are you going to do? Well, you know, mark one off on my list. I don't need to put nearly the effort that I did before into that person. We'll go our own way and they'll figure things out. Is that what you're going to do? Or are you just going to stare at them like completely blank face like, oh, it happened. What do I do now? Right? Or maybe you're here in this place and you're not currently following Jesus, or you're watching online on Facebook, listening later on, whatever it is. And when you think of Christians, you know, you're convinced that Christians want nothing else than just to get another notch on their belt. That you feel like maybe that's the reason why they're your friend, is because they just want to be able to win you for Jesus and make themselves feel good. Or maybe it is that you've just seen friends of yours who have come to follow Jesus, and you just go, you haven't really changed. Like, what's the deal? Why is there no change in your life? Or why are you now just this judgmental person who says one thing and does the same thing that you always did? And what I believe is that if we were to grasp a hold of one principle here, it would begin to solve a lot of these problems, and that's teaching. We need to teach. We need to be taught. See, if you enter into a relationship with someone and you begin to share your faith with that person, but you share your faith not with the goal solely of saying, will you come to know Jesus, but with the goal of saying, hey, they're going to come to know Jesus maybe, and when they do, I'm sticking with them and I'm going to walk with them as they develop their faith. Then suddenly you can't have an attitude of, I'm just here to tell you about Jesus, and if you accept him, then awesome, I'll move on to the next guy. You're committed to that person. You have to care about that individual, because let me tell you, teaching is hard work. Teaching is hard work. Same thing, I believe that if we were to actually go and begin to teach people who come to Jesus about who Jesus is, about what Jesus wants for their lives, we would begin to see that there is actually a change that takes place in them, and that perhaps, maybe, just maybe, instead of just a small percentage, a little tiny fraction of those who give their lives to Jesus sticking it out, maybe we'd see that more and more people truly grow in their faith. What we're going to discover here today is that evangelism without discipleship results in gospel inoculation rather than kingdom participation. That's a lot of big words. It's a really long thing. I'm going to say it again. If you've got your phone and you'd like to note this down, you can go to ascc.life, tap on the message notes tile, and you can fill in the blanks and do all your stuff there if you want, or paper and pen, whatever. But evangelism without discipleship results in gospel inoculation rather than kingdom participation. Let me define some of these words here. Evangelism. Most of us know what evangelism is. That's sharing your faith, telling people about Jesus. To boil it down to nuts and bolts. Discipleship, that is walking through life with someone. It's someone coming along to follow you. It's you teaching people, guiding people. The gospel, that's the good news of Jesus. That's the good news that even though us as humans have really messed things up in the world, you know, God created this beautiful world. We see it each day, but we also see the disasters on the news all the time, or we feel the implications of sin and death in our lives as we are sick, or as loved ones pass away, or as tragedy strikes in any one of so many ways. We see that things aren't right. And yet God, as he looked at us, his rebellious creation, whom he loves so much, He didn't give up on us, but he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born as one of us, fully human, fully God, to live a sinless life as only he could. And yet there you have this perfectly innocent God-man, and he was executed in a fashion that was reserved for only the worst criminals on a cross. He was dead for 3 days, and then he was risen again by God the Father, victorious over sin and death, bearing upon himself the weight of our, I almost said transgressions, but then I'd have to define that too. Bearing upon himself the weight of our wrongdoings, our rebellion against God, our sin, and giving us a path to restore, have a restored relationship with God where we can find life, where we can find freedom and forgiveness. Really, the gospel is all about how Jesus changes everything. C.S. Lewis, he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, which may be how you're most familiar with him, but he was also a great scholar. And he talks about this principle of gospel inoculation. And he says, you know, just like you give just a little bit of a virus to someone in order to help their body fight it off so that they're inoculated to it, if we just go around and we give little bits and pieces of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus to people, we inoculate them to the gospel. And so when you just go around and you know, when God bless you becomes just a cultural little thing that everyone says, even if they don't even believe that there's a God, then that's just a little bit of inoculation to that statement, to that phrase. But it goes beyond that. I think it actually goes to this place of evangelism without discipleship where we have people pray these prayers and then we say, congratulations, you're a Christian. You're now going to go to heaven. You know, it's up to you if you take this any further, but we're done now. We're leaving town and see you later. So then you have a whole group of people that are running around going, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I've accepted the gospel, I think I kind of know what it is, and so that's good enough. And then they go back to their life, and maybe they don't even start reading the Bible, they don't do anything, but then you go and you try to tell them about Jesus, or you try to come into their life 5 years later and talk to them about how they should be living, and they go, oh no, I've already done that. Or they say, well, it really wasn't for me, nothing really changed in my life. So evangelism without discipleship results in gospel inoculation rather than what the goal should be, which is kingdom participation. When people accept the good news of Jesus, we want them to be involved in the kingdom of God, in doing God's work, in sharing the good news with others. But too often, when we finally get into the evangelism side of things, because that's hard for most of us, but when we finally get that down, we find out that there's this whole other segment and we just don't do it. Now, I've talked a lot today and haven't actually opened the Bible yet, and that's not a good thing. So let's go to the Bible here today. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. We read a little bit from this chapter last week. So if you have your Bibles here today, you can do that. It'll also be on the screen behind me in just a moment or on ASCC.life. Now, we were reading in here about how these believers, these Christians had been scattered, how they had begun to share their faith, and how people in this place called Antioch, this morally corrupt place, how they accepted the good news of Jesus. They began to see their lives changed. And then the church in Jerusalem, they heard about this stuff. So they sent a guy named Barnabas to come and check out what's going on. Barnabas was pretty happy with what he saw, and so he sticks around. And here's what we see, starting in verse 24. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. And so here's Barnabas, and you know he's just like we've been talking about. He's a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered follower of Jesus. And as he's going and he's telling people about what Jesus has done, people are coming to faith. Then we read this. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. You know, it's crazy. It's like Barnabas has a good ministry going on here. People are coming to know Jesus. But then we see Barnabas just kind of picks up and leaves, and he goes and he looks for this guy, Saul. What's he doing? What about his ministry back in Antioch? Things are going well. But then we see in verse 26, when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. And it was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. See, it seems to me that Barnabas understood something very important. He understood that we need to teach those who come to follow Jesus. Right? Like, he's got this great ministry, but in the midst of this great ministry, he recognizes that there is a need for people to receive better teaching, and so he takes a break and he actually leaves for a while. Now, you got to understand, this isn't like today where you hop in the car, you drive over the weekend or something like that. You know, you drive a couple hours, you knock on a couple doors or ring someone on their cell phone and say, hey, you know, I've got my car here. Why don't you hop in and I'm going to take you out to Antioch? No, this is a journey. He's going to be gone for a while. He's got to figure out where Saul is. And then he brings him back. Why? To teach. Now, you may think that if somebody comes to a place of faith, they come and they begin to follow Jesus, that they're just going to kind of pick things up as they go along. You know, they're just going to figure it out. You know, well, if they'll just start coming to church when they follow Jesus. Of course, they're going to pray the prayer with me over coffee, and they're just going to know that Christians go to church, and so they'll start coming to church and they'll learn. But there's a problem, because they don't. The historian Daniel Boorstin wrote, "Education is learning what you didn't even know you didn't know." And I think in the Christian faith, this is so applicable to us. Education is learning what you didn't even know you didn't know. Oh, but Pastor Stephen, when someone comes to faith, if they have a question, they can just ask me. Or they can ask you, preferably. And yes, there are going to be times where people ask you questions, but you know what? If education is learning what you didn't even know you didn't know, then how are you going to know that you need to ask the question to get the answer to the thing that you didn't even know? Chew on that. People need to be taught. How are people going to know to read the Bible? Let alone, do you really want to just say, here's the Bible, go and read it from front to back and talk to me after you're done? No, we need to be there educating people, helping them know what they didn't even know they needed to know. And the Holy Spirit does play into this. The Holy Spirit is going to convict people. He is going to talk to people and guide them. But the fact is that we need to guide people as well. In fact, as we look at the Great Commission that Jesus gave his disciples, he didn't say go into all the world and make converts and then walk away. He said go into all the world and make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them all the things that I've commanded you. Now, it seems to me that if a disciple is someone that follows along and follows the example of someone and is taught by someone, plus then we've also got a second part that's like, hey, teach them all this stuff, that teaching is an important part of Christian faith. That it's not something that we can afford to just leave alone. But even as I'm saying this, I can see different heads like kind of going down and people just kind of getting a little awkward here, because we're not just talking about having to get out of our comfort zone to share our faith, but now we're talking about having to teach. That's a little scary. Like, what do I teach? Where do I start? What do I do? How do I begin? And so I want to give you the easiest place to start is actually with your own example. Your example is the best tool for teaching. Okay, you can tell someone, hey, it's really important to go to church for the fellowship because God says that we need to and we can worship and all of this. And then that person shows up to church one Sunday, two Sundays, three Sundays, four Sundays, and they see you one of those Sundays. Oh, okay, so it's important to go to church, but it doesn't matter if you do it all that often. It's just a whenever you feel like it thing. You know, or you can meet with this person and say, it's really important for you to be spending time in prayer and reading the Bible. That's going to really teach you some important stuff. God's going to talk to you through that. And then over the course of time, they come to realize that you don't read your Bible, that maybe you've never even read it once through. And they go, oh, okay, so is it important? In fact, is this even somebody that I should be listening to? Because they don't seem to do any of the things that they're telling me I should be doing. But what happens if your example is a good one? I believe that this is one of the reasons it's so important to live as Christ has called us to live, because people do better with examples than they do with people just telling them. Okay, it always starts with how the teacher lives their lives, and then it extends out into the student. Now, there's a challenge here, because a lot of us like to go home and close ourselves off from anything to do with church, and we just kind of get involved in, okay, I've got my family, I've got my recreation, and I've got my job, and that's enough. Maybe, you know, throw in about 40 hours of television a week, and our plate is full. But being an example to someone doesn't mean that you have coffee with them once a month. Being an example to someone means that they have to actually be a part of your life. That they have to have opportunities to actually observe how you live and what you do, to be taught in it. And so this is one of the easiest, best tools that you have for teaching, but it's also one of the most invasive, most difficult tools that you can have for teaching someone. But it's right there. There's nothing that has to be learned. Live as Christ has called you to live and invite them to do it with you. Now, that's not to say that you're never going to want to actually walk someone through the Bible, that you're never going to want to actually teach someone something a little bit theological or anything like that. And so we come back to this whole idea of this is overwhelming. What are we going to do? And this is one area where I want to just say that your church is here to help you. Christian faith is not about, you know, it's just me and God, but it's about us, the body of Christ. Okay, and we're all made differently. We all have different strengths. One of my strengths is teaching. And we have people in our congregation that we're blessed with that have a vast knowledge of the things of God, mature believers and people that have taken time in school and all of this. And as a church, we've begun to develop resources to help people show people what's next in their faith. And so know when you need help. I see here that Barnabas knew when he needed help. We see lots of people were coming to the Lord, and I think eventually it got to the point where Barnabas was thinking, there's a lot of people here that need to be taught, and I can't do it all. And so he took some time off to go and get someone to help him. And so maybe it is that you have just 30 people that you know that suddenly come to faith in Jesus, and you're going, I can't teach this many people. Then come and talk to us, and we'll help you get some of them involved with other people that can take them under their wing. Or maybe it is that somebody is just to the point where you're like, they're asking things that are beyond my depth. And so maybe that's an opportunity for someone here in our church to teach you those things so that you can grow in your faith to then teach others. Because that's the marvelous thing about teaching, is it's not just that you teach others and they're the ones that grow, but as you teach other people, you're forced to grow. You know, as I teach my kids to throw a baseball, suddenly I realize, hey, wait a second, yes, that's right. You know, I have allowed my elbow to drop a little bit as I've been throwing. I need to get that back up there, or whatever it may be. You know, you remember these little things that maybe that you've let go as you're trying to teach others. Whatever it is, your church is here to help you. There's a group of people here that love you and that want to help you in this. But the big thing is we can't let people slip through the cracks when they come to follow Jesus. Because when they slip through the cracks, it's really hard to bring them back and to help them grow to be mature believers in Jesus. So it is that evangelism without discipleship results in gospel inoculation rather than kingdom participation. But imagine for a second if all of a sudden, because of our attitudes towards people, because we're in it for the long haul, people began to realize when we sit down with them, when we begin to tell them our faith, when we begin to speak life into their situation by talking about how Jesus helped us through a similar one, if suddenly their attitude wasn't, oh, they're just telling me this because they want me to join them, but their attitude was, no, this person cares about me, they love me, and they believe what they're saying. They're going to be with me in this for the long haul. I've seen it with what they did with that friend of mine. Christians aren't here just to convert, but they're here to guide and to be a part of my life, their life, as we join the life of Christ. I said before, imagine if just a mere fraction more of the fraction of people who come to Jesus actually stuck with it because they received the teaching and the relationship that they need to guide them through those places that don't make sense and to show them what's next in their life. Remember, friends, evangelism without discipleship results in gospel inoculation rather than kingdom participation. And I truly hope that, your desire, as you're sharing your faith, or as you're meeting people for coffee, or as you're making unchurched friends because you realize that you live in the Christian bubble, that your attitude, that your desire is going to be to see people begin to participate in the kingdom of God as they know the gospel of Jesus Christ and they feel the impact of how Jesus changes everything in their life. Because there's nothing worse to me than someone hearing the good news, accepting it, and then falling away because they couldn't get it together. Nobody helped them along the way. That's not to say that you're never going to have someone fall away. That's what the parable of the good sower, that's a whole nother message, but there's going to be people that do come and do fall away. But if we can guide people, if we can teach them, it's going to be so much greater. Today, if you're ready to take this step, not only of sharing your faith as we've been talking about, but this next step of teaching, here's what I want you to do. Begin to do this week. Commit not just to share your faith, but also to make disciples. This is, for each of you, it's going to depend on your situation, how this is going to look, but commit not just to share your faith, but also to make disciples. Let that be your attitude. I'm going into this not just to do a hit and run, but I'm going into this, and if they say, yes, I'm ready to follow Jesus, then I'm going to stick with them anyways. I'm not just going to move on. And same thing, I'm not going to give up on them just because they said, you know what, this isn't my thing. But that out of the love that I have in my heart for them and the love that I know Jesus has for them and my love for Jesus Christ, I'm going to keep on coming back and caring about them. Will you pray with me today? We're going to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and courage on this. Lord God, today I just think of the way that we as the Christian church in Canada have become crippled as things that are important to our faith in sharing your love with others and not being ashamed of the gospel, but being bold in speaking it to others and in the teaching of others have gone by the wayside as we look to ourselves, to our own ambitions, to what's easy in life, or where we just allow our fears and anxieties to get in the way, wondering, well, what do I say, rather than leaning on you. Lord, will you just fill us with your Holy Spirit today and give us courage. Bring situations our way to share Jesus with others and to begin to teach others, Lord God. Give us the wisdom, God, to recognize those situations. Give us the courage and the boldness to take hold of those situations and share with those people the good news of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus
and Jesus alone as my master and my savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.